Imagine you are driving down the Bronx River Parkway on a Tuesday morning. It is lightly snowing, nothing crazy, just a dusting.
Yeah, just enough to be annoying.
Exactly. And the traffic in front of you suddenly slows down, so you just, tap your brakes. But instead of decelerating, your car loses all mechanical grip.
Right.
In a fraction of a second, your vehicle becomes this 4,000-pound unguided missile. You are entirely at the mercy of momentum.
It is terrifying. I mean, you are basically just a passenger at that point.
Truly. And today, we are looking at why that exact scenario is an absolute legal nightmare, and why the driver who inevitably crashes into you will almost always try to blame the clouds in the sky instead of, well, their own bad choices.
Oh, is the ultimate deflection strategy. I mean,
Yeah.
when the physical realities of a hazardous road combine with the psychological state of a driver who's in a hurry, you see this massive statistical spike in catastrophic collisions.
Wow, yeah.
But what happens afterward, during the actual fallout, that is where the real battle begins.
And that is our mission for this deep dive. We are unpacking the lethal combination of bad weather and time pressure on local roads.
Right.
We're going to look at the actual physics of driving in winter conditions across New York and Westchester County, the underlying psychology of why feeling rushed completely degrades our decision-making, and how insurance companies use meteorology as a legal shield against you.
Which they love to do.
They really do. Finally, we will break down the specific strategies a heavy-hitting trial lawyer uses to dismantle those excuses and change the outcome of the case. Okay, let's unpack this.
So to really grasp the mechanics of these collisions, we kind of have to start at the contact patch.
The contact patch.
Yeah, that is the area of your tire actually touching the road. It is roughly the size of your hand.
Wait, really? Just the size of your
Just
hand?
your hand.
Yeah.
So when you are driving in a dense urban environment, literally everything depends on the friction generated by that tiny patch of rubber.
That is wild to think about. Which brings us to the specific physical realities of this region. Because when we look at the data on local accidents, we aren't usually talking about massive headline-grabbing blizzards.
No, not at all.
The most dangerous conditions are actually the deceptive ones, light snow, slush, and temperature fluctuations. It's that early morning commute or the evening drive home where the temp is hovering right around 32 degrees.
Yeah, that specific temperature zone is incredibly treacherous because of the freeze-thaw cycle.
Right.
During the day, the sun melts the snow into puddles. But as the sun sets and the temperature drops, that water freezes into black ice. And what makes black ice so dangerous isn't just that it is invisible,
Which is bad enough.
right, bad enough,
Right.
but it's the microscopic layer of liquid water that sits on top of the ice. When your tire hits that liquid layer, it acts as a perfect lubricant.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the mechanical interlocking between your tire tread and the asphalt is just completely broken.
And let's ground this right in your backyard. If you are navigating, say, I-287 or the Hutchinson River Parkway, or those chaotic streets in White Plains, Yonkers, Manhattan, Queens, and the
Oh,
Bronx,
yeah, all of those.
you are dealing with highly specific topography. You have sharp curves, sudden elevation changes, and just heavy stop-and-go traffic.
Yeah.
Driving those specific parkways in the slush really feels like navigating a bobsled track.
It is a perfect analogy.
Right. You have absolutely no idea if the person in front of you is going to suddenly slam on their brakes, and if they do, you are just along for the ride.
Yeah, that bobsled analogy is spot on because it highlights this whole concept of margin for error.
Okay, unpack that a bit.
Well, in a rural environment, if you slide a little, you might end up safely in a soft snowbank or just a wide shoulder.
Yeah.
But in Westchester County or New York City traffic, the proximity of the vehicles completely changes the physics of the outcome.
Because everyone is right on top of each other.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Dense urban environments leave you with zero margin for error. Braking just a fraction of a second too late, or following, say, 3 feet too closely on a slick parkway, it doesn't just result in a close call.
Right.
The physical space required to correct a kinetic error simply does not exist. A collision is basically inevitable.
So you have a driver operating a vehicle with virtually zero mechanical grip, navigating an environment with zero margin for error.
Yeah, a recipe for disaster.
But the road conditions outside the car only paint half the picture, right? The real catalyst for these disasters is what is actually happening inside the driver's head.
Absolutely. We have to look at the psychological multiplier. Hazardous roads are dangerous, yes, But rushing on hazardous roads is what actually tips the scale into an actual disaster.
This concept of time pressure is something we all experience constantly.
And for sure.
You know, you hit the snooze button one too many times, you were trying to beat the morning rush hour, or maybe the weather is just miserable and you were desperate to get home. When that pressure kicks in, the data shows that drivers start speeding, taking unnecessary risks, riding the bumper of the car in front of them, and just reacting aggressively.
It fundamentally alters the driver's primary directive.
Mm.
Under normal conditions, your brain's goal is to arrive safely. But when you introduce time pressure, that goal suddenly shifts to arriving quickly.
And those don't mix.
Exactly. On an icy parkway, those two goals are completely mutually exclusive.
Let me push back on the physiological aspect of this, though.
Okay.
If you are stressed about being late for a massive meeting, your sympathetic nervous system kicks in, you have adrenaline pumping through your veins.
Yeah, the fight or flight response.
Right. So wouldn't that evolutionary response make you hyper alert? Why do the studies show that a driver's reaction time actually plummets and their decision-making falls apart?
I know, it feels like a total paradox.
Yeah.
But it comes down to how our brains handle cognitive load. Adrenaline is fantastic if you need to run away from a predator because it primes your large muscle groups.
Makes sense.
But it does not improve the complex executive function happening in your prefrontal cortex, which is what you actually use to drive a car.
So the adrenaline is essentially useless for the task at hand.
Worse than useless, honestly. It's distracting. Think of your brain's attention like a flashlight beam. When you are just focusing on driving safely in the snow, that beam is wide.
Okay, I am picturing that.
You are scanning the environment. You see the brake lights three cars ahead.
Yeah.
You notice the patch of ice forming near the overpass. You see cars merging from the on-ramp.
So your peripheral vision is fully engaged.
Precisely. But the second you add time pressure, that flashlight beam turns into a laser pointer aimed directly at the clock on your dashboard.
Oh.
Your brain initiates a massive background process. You're calculating the minutes until your meeting, stressing about your boss's reaction, mentally mapping alternate routes.
That sounds exhausting.
It is. This is cognitive narrowing. Your peripheral vision practically shuts off, and your brain stops processing the visual cues of the road hazard.
Wow. So it is not that you aren't alert. You are incredibly alert, but to entirely the wrong things.
Exactly.
You are hyper-focused on the social consequence of being late instead of being hyper-focused on the physical reality of the bumper right in front of you.
And that divided attention is the exact mechanism that causes the dramatic spike in crash risk. By the time that laser pointer of attention snaps back to the icy road, it is physically too late to stop the vehicle.
Let's just pause on that for a second because it is terrifyingly relatable.
Oh.
We have all had those mornings where a rainy commute suddenly feels like a high-stakes race.
Oh, absolutely.
Knowing the actual science behind how badly that internal stress degrades our physical reaction time really changes how you view the cars around you.
It really does.
So when that distracted, rushing driver finally collides with the physical reality of a slippery parkway, what does the anatomy of that crash actually look like?
Well, in high-traffic areas like Westchester and NYC, we are rarely talking about an isolated fender bender. Kinetic energy needs somewhere to go.
Right.
When a driver under time pressure hits a patch of black ice and strikes the car in front of them, the slick road conditions prevent the trailing cars from stopping in time. This triggers a compounding transfer of force.
A chain reaction collision, which I imagine drastically increases the severity of the injuries involved.
Unfortunately, yes, it does.
If you find yourself caught in one of these massive pileups, what are the immediate actionable steps you need to take?
There's a very specific protocol to protect yourself, both physically and legally. First, seek medical attention immediately, even if you feel fine.
Because of the adrenaline we talked about?
Exactly. Adrenaline completely masks pain. Second, document the scene relentlessly. Take photos of the vehicular damage, but more importantly, document the specific weather conditions, the lack of salt on the road, and the visibility.
Okay, got it.
Third, obtain an official police report.
Now, those steps make total sense. You are establishing a factual baseline before the ice melts and memories change. But the fourth step is the one that really caught my eye.
Avoiding the insurance companies.
Right. Avoid speaking to any insurance companies without legal guidance. Here's where it gets really interesting. Wait, so the other driver's insurance company isn't going to look at the police report and just pay for the damage?
Far from it. I mean, they are going to look at that police report, see the little box checked for snow or rain, and immediately deploy their favorite tactic.
Which is?
They're going to use the weather as an excuse.
This is where they essentially gaslight you using meteorology. They point to the sky and say, look, Our driver couldn't stop because of the ice. It was an act of nature. It's a tragic accident, but it's not our fault.
Yep. They use the weather report as a literal legal shield.
Unbelievable.
Which creates what we call a contested liability case.
Okay, let's break that down. Contested liability. What does that actually mean in plain English?
Contested liability is basically just a legal tug of war. The insurance company is pointing the finger at the environment, arguing the elements caused the crash, which means they don't have to pay. And you are pointing the finger at their driver, arguing their speed and inattention caused the crash. It is a battle over who is legally at fault.
And how does the law actually view that? Does a snowstorm give you a free pass for rear-ending someone?
Absolutely not. The legal reality is entirely divorced from the insurance company's narrative. In the eyes of the law, weather does not automatically excuse negligent driving.
Oh, that is super important.
It is crucial. Every driver has a fundamental duty of care to adapt their behavior to the existing conditions.
So even if the posted speed limit on the Hutchinson River Parkway is 55 miles per hour, doing 55 when the road is covered in slush is inherently negligent.
Precisely. I mean, the ski limit is for ideal conditions. A reasonable driver slows down in the snow. A reasonable driver doubles or triples their following distance.
Which people rarely do.
Right. But if someone fails to adjust and they slide into you, they are negligent. The ice didn't cause the crash. Their failure to respect the ice caused the crash.
But the insurance adjuster sitting in an office three states away doesn't care about that. They love the weather excuse because it is an easy scapegoat to protect their bottom line.
Exactly. It's a highly calculated strategy.
So how do you actually fight back against a massive corporation whose entire business model relies on minimizing your payout?
Well, you don't do it alone. You need an advocate who understands the physics, the psychology, and the legal mechanisms necessary to completely dismantle that weather excuse.
Which brings us to the strategic legal approach of the law offices of Norman Gershon. We are talking about an attorney with over 35 years of experience handling these exact types of complex contested liability claims in the NYC and Westchester County areas.
The powerhouses.
Yeah, and the phrase that kept coming up in our research is that insurance companies know and fear Norman Gershon. He is literally the lawyer other attorneys call to try their toughest cases.
That reputation is honestly the most valuable currency in personal injury law. But it is important to understand why insurance companies fear a specific trial lawyer.
It's not just yelling in a courtroom.
No, it isn't just about being aggressive. It is about the meticulous, scientific way they build a case.
How do they actually prove it then? If the insurance company says it was the ice and you say the driver was rushing, how does Norman Gershon prove the driver was under that time pressure we talked about earlier?
This is where accident reconstruction comes in.
Yeah.
A heavyweight firm doesn't just argue, they extract data.
Data from where?
Well, modern cars have event data recorders, essentially black boxes that record speed, braking force, and throttle position in the exact seconds before an impact.
Wow.
A seasoned trial attorney will subpoena that black box data. They will pull cell phone records to see if the driver was texting or using a navigation app. They will pull local traffic camera footage to calculate the driver's speed based on the distance traveled between frames.
Oh, wow. So they aren't just standing there saying your driver was going too fast.
No.
They are putting a spreadsheet in front of the insurance adjuster that mathematically proves the driver didn't touch the brake pedal until 0.2 seconds before impact, proving cognitive distraction.
Exactly. They completely strip away the act of nature excuse by proving mechanical and human negligence. And when you look at Norman Gershon's track record, you see the results of that exact strategy.
The results are absolutely staggering. I mean, he has recovered tens of millions of dollars for his clients.
It's incredible.
We are talking about a $16.5 million verdict in a bus collision case. He has secured multiple verdicts over $5 million for motor vehicle accidents involving severe spinal injuries.
Right.
And locally, right here in his jurisdiction, a $2.5 million verdict for a Westchester County car accident.
But here is the critical piece of the puzzle. Those massive jury verdicts dictate the terms of everyday settlements.
Wait, what do you mean by that? Most of these cases settle out of court, right?
Yeah, the vast majority do. But an insurance company's willingness to offer a maximum fair settlement is directly tied to their fear of what will happen if they refuse.
Okay.
If you hire a lawyer who only ever settles and never goes to trial, the insurance company's algorithms know that. They have no incentive to offer top dollar because there is no actual threat.
It's like playing poker with someone who never calls your bluff.
Exactly. But when an insurance adjuster sees Norman Gershon's name on a file, a lawyer with a proven history of extracting multi-million dollar verdicts from juries, their entire risk calculus changes.
Because they know he will actually go to court.
Yes. The threat of facing his evidence and his accident reconstruction in a courtroom is the exact leverage required to force the insurance company to offer a maximum settlement at the negotiating table.
So you carry the big stick so you don't actually have to swing it, but the other side has to know you're more than capable of swinging it.
That's exactly it.
And you can hear the relief that kind of leverage brings in the testimonials from his actual clients. One client, Lance, described Norman as thorough, confident, and completely prepared.
And that preparation is the data extraction and reconstruction we were just discussing.
Right. And another client, Nancy Joyce, said, Norman worked his magic and got me a better settlement than I expected.
Which is amazing.
When you are laid up in a hospital bed, watching your medical bills pile up, having a legal heavyweight shift the financial burden off your shoulders probably does feel like magic.
It really allows the injured person to do the only thing they should be doing, which is focusing entirely on their physical and mental recovery.
And to ensure that anyone can access this level of representation, the firm operates on a contingency basis. You only pay if you win.
That's huge.
If you or someone you love has been injured in one of these weather-related crashes, and you are dealing with an insurance company trying to pass the buck, you need to bring in the firepower. The exclusive contact number for the law offices of Norman Gershon is 914-485-1444. Again, to get the lawyer that other attorneys call, dial 914-485-1444.
If we synthesize everything we have covered today, the pattern becomes remarkably clear.
So what does this all mean for you, the listener? The core takeaway is that the combination of winter weather on roads like the Bronx River Parkway and the internal psychology of rushing is a trap.
A massive trap.
It degrades the physical grip of your tires and the cognitive bandwidth of your brain. And crucially, when the worst happens, you cannot let an insurance adjuster convince you that a crash was simply an unavoidable act of nature.
Never.
Failure to drive safely in the snow is negligence, plain and simple, but you need a forensic, feared legal advocate to prove it.
Before we wrap up, I want to leave you with one final thought to mull over, building on that idea of time pressure and cognitive narrowing.
Okay, let's hear it.
Think about the navigation apps we all mount on our dashboards. They are constantly updating our arrival times, minute by minute, glowing right there in our peripheral vision.
Yeah, Waze, Google Maps, all of them.
Right. It effectively turns every single commute into a ticking countdown timer. We really have to wonder, are these technological tools, which are explicitly designed to make our lives easier, actually creating a persistent subconscious time pressure?
That is a really good point.
Are our GPS apps fundamentally rewiring our attention and making our roads inherently more dangerous, regardless of what the weather outside is doing?
A literal ticking clock, constantly pulling that flashlight beam of attention away from the road. That is a chilling thought and definitely something to consider the next time you plug in your destination. Thank you so much for joining us for this deep dive. Stay safe out there on the roads. Give yourself that extra margin of time and space, and we will catch you on the next one.